I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, just me at the top of the show to say this is a little bit different this week. Didn't record an episode this week, just been travelling so much, Adelaide, Canberra, and just working full time as well, so didn't get a chance. But what this means is I've timed it perfectly. So it means that April 13 will be the 300th episode, and it means we're going to be recording this as part of the Festival Club for the Comedy Festival, so tickets will go on sale for that. And then after 300, it'll only be monthly on Patreon, this podcast. So thanks everyone who's on the Patreon already. If you want to hear more episodes, jump on the Patreon. You get a brand new episode of Top 5 every week, and you're going to listen to one of those episodes right now. This is one I recorded last year, this time last year, with my good pal Adam Richard, where we counted down our Top 5 Christmas songs. So no surprises what his number one is, but the journey to get there is very, very fun as well. So a few things. I've got tickets on sale for the Comedy Festival shows, the podcast at the European Beer Cafe. So they're going to be Saturdays at 3 o'clock this year, or next year, I should say. And also my show, Modern Contemporary, will be on sale very, very soon. It's going to be on at 7:40 during the festival at the Western, which is just on Collins Street there. So keep an eye out for tickets there. This Saturday, if you're in Melbourne and you have tickets to the birthday show that's been postponed, it's on right now this Saturday, Saturday the 18th. Great lineup, which I'll keep a surprise until you get there, but I'm very, very excited with the four people I've got who are coming on, so that'll be great. So if you got a ticket back in June, that is good to go for this Saturday. And I think at time of recording, there's like three tickets left, so if you want to try and quickly jump on, as soon as you hear this, do that, and I'll see you on Saturday, 5:30. That's all I need to say. Enjoy this episode of Top 5 with Adam Richard, and hopefully I see you at one of the live shows. Hello and welcome to Top 5, the Patreon-only podcast, where I, Josh Earle, sit down with a good friend. We count down our Top 5 on a subject, and today's episode, it's Christmas songs with Adam Richard. Woo! Hey, Adam.
Love your sleigh bells.
Thank you.
I don't know that you needed to wear the beard and the hat for everything. Seems a bit overkill. Just
I love it. Now, you suggested this topic and I love it. I'm a big fan of Christmas.
Oh, I love Christmas.
A lot of people don't like Christmas. A lot of people go through a phase where they're like, nah, I hate it. But I actually like it, even though I've had lots of bad experiences around Christmas, but yeah, I still love it.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's like New Year's. If you load up too much expectation, it's always terrible.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you just have to go, yeah, there's going to be crap ones, there's going to be fun ones. Also, you went straight from being a child to having children, so you didn't really have the fallow years.
I had my first child at 29.
That's, yeah, shush. That, yeah. I'm celebrating my 21st birthday next month.
Oh, congratulations.
It's my 21st, 29th birthday. So if you do the maths, it's the big 5-0. Anyway, look over there.
I love this. I when you texted me, you're like, Christmas songs. So I was like, are we talking carols? Are we talking songs?
So I prefer songs, but I can go with carols if you need to.
I've only done songs.
Oh, yeah. I've kind of only done songs as well. I've got one carol-esque.
It might be the same one.
Oh, probably.
I'm gonna say it's the same one. That's probably. All right. We'll find out.
Sorry. Oh, by the way, I have two top fives.
Okay.
I've got a top five Christmas songs, and I've got a top five Christmas songs as recorded by Mariah Carey. She's got two albums. There's too much to choose.
All right, we'll do those at the end because I don't have any Mariah in my list.
What?
No, no Mariah in my list. But can I just say, Christmas and songs go hand in hand with it because when I was like year seven,
our family got our first ever CD player. And that was when music was really coming into our life. Before that was tapes, and it was all my dad's tapes for his car. We didn't have a tape deck in the house. Maybe we did melted, a little one, but
melted
yeah.
on the parcel shelf tapes. Yeah, so that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And so for Christmas that year, we got a CD player. It was a 5-disc changing CD player. And we got, these are the 5 CDs we had.
Yep.
So my parents got Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh.
My older brother got Pearl Jam's Vitalogy.
Oh, yeah.
I think my dad got Bon Jovi's Dead or Alive.
That is a good album.
I got... No, my younger brother got Mariah Carey's Music Box.
Oh.
And I got the Priscilla soundtrack.
You... That explains a lot about you.
It really does explain our whole family. Like, it really does.
Like, we tried to make him gay. He had the gay hair. We're just going to make it take.
He was dancing all the time. He went with his friend to watch the Priscilla movie, like at like 12 years old at the cinema.
Oh my God.
It was a cinema one, though. It was the only film. Like, that was it.
Yeah. It's. I went to see The Village People at the age of 6, and that really stuck.
Yeah. So. We'll go through this one at a time. So do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
No, I don't mind going first.
All right, you go first.
So we start, are we backwards?
At number five, yeah. So number five.
Number five is the song Christmas, Baby Please Come Home.
Ah.
Darlene Love from the Phil Spector Christmas album. I mean, the whole album could be one big song.
Yes, that was. This is in my honorable mentions, just because that whole album is just so great, and it sounds like Christmas so much because of these bells.
Christmas, that was falling down.
That was my thing going into this. Going, okay, it's got to be a proper Christmas song. It just can't be someone putting a bit of that on and just singing a sad song about, oh, please come home tonight. That's not Christmas, okay?
Nah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
This is an interesting... Darlene Love as well. So this is the Phil Spector Christmas album. The Phil Spector, like, psychopath. Absolute
lunatic.
Psychopath.
Crazy hair. Not even his hair from the shops. Crazy hair that he bought from the shops.
And it's amazing that... So Darlene Love... So what was the band? Was it... It wasn't the Darlenes. Was it...
Was she in the Shirelles? No. She one of those.
I don't know.
One of the Lulles.
Yeah.
The Lovells. Yeah. But this was just her on her own, this one, even though there were other, like, there's a whole bunch of different acts on the album.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know what? Phil Spector has done some wacky stuff. Like, he produced the concert for Bangladesh, like the George Harrison thing. Like, just like the first Live Aid was essentially Phil Spector.
He also recorded the Ramones because they really wanted to record because they love all those 60 girl groups.
The Wall of Sound.
And they wanted that, and he pulled a gun on them and made them record.
Yeah, he's not okay.
No, not okay at all.
But Lord, he got some good work. And, you know, I always think of, you know, there's Tina Turner and then there's River Deep Mountain High Tina Turner, which is, you know, finally being out. Like, you just go, oh, she's gone from one crazy man to another crazy man.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, speaking of, like, the aforementioned Ramones, this is my number five, which is Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight.
Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight with...
I think the Ramones are the perfect band.
Oh,
if I could be in any band in the world, I would have chosen the Ramones.
Well, you only have to learn the one song. Just
exactly.
Change the words.
Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's perfect.
That's Blitzkrieg Bop, the Christmas remix.
But they look cool. They just wear black jeans, black top, leather jacket. They're
easy.
They
were effortless because they were actually effortless.
Yeah. There's so many great stories about the Ramones, like in the new Talking Heads book or in David Byrne's book where, Chris, whatever his name is, I don't know. But he was writing about how Talking Heads toured with the Ramones across Europe and they were kind of scared of them because they were like these big punk guys and then they got in and they were just like children and they hated everything about France. And the biggest thing they were excited about was when they went past McDonald's. And he goes, it was the first time I saw all of like the Ramones smile and they ran inside and got burgers and then came back out and they were like happy for like half an hour.
Look, I have to confess, I did go to McDonald's in Paris.
So did I. Paris was the only place where Beck and I fought when we were traveling.
City of love and arguments.
Yeah, because I think we built it up so much. And also I was being a bit of a prick and didn't want to talk French. I'm so sick of people like treat him like I'm an idiot. And so I just want to go somewhere where I can speak English for
a
while.
Was this in Paris?
Yeah, it was in Paris. Yeah.
See, outside of Paris, they're not such sticklers for making everyone speak English.
Yes.
It's just Parisians are really up themselves.
Yeah. But also, so Christmas time, there's been a few big things in my family. My parents divorced on Christmas. So they separated on Christmas.
It is an emotional pimple of a day. It's like all of the resentment and everything builds up and it's just requires one person to put the fork in the wrong bit of turkey and you're over.
And my ex-girlfriend, her parents also separated on Christmas Day.
That's not much to do in Burnie the rest of the year.
Well, that was awesome. It's even worse, like really. But he made the family, like because when he was having the affair, he made his son and daughter go around to the woman's house and go, this is my friend. Just come around Christmas morning. We'll have a drink with her. No. And then they walked away going, that was weird. Why? Okay.
Why did you make us go to another lady's house for Christmas?
And then that night he confessed to his wife. Okay. And then the next day he told his daughter.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Anyway.
That's not okay.
I don't want to fight tonight. It's Christmas.
The most ironic song of all time.
Yeah. All right, your number four, Adam Richard.
My number four is very strange because it's a famously Jewish person having a red hot go at a Christmas album, which is Barbra Streisand. And she does this hyped up kind of jazzy, scatty version of Jingle Bells that basically doesn't understand the whole idea of Christmas. Because she's Jewish.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. We're dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. All the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse
It is funny because Bob Dylan's got a Christmas album.
Mm.
And I know he did his whole Christian albums.
Yeah.
But he's also very Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Jingle Bells is not a song that needs to be sped up. Like, it's fast enough, but Jingle Bell, jing, 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 jing. It's too much.
That jing, jing, jing is the cash register for all those sales she made for a Christmas album. Jing, jing, jing.
Jing, 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 jingle bell, jing, 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 jingle bells. Like, what are you doing, Barbra? Calm down. But it is one of those things where, because I just have, like, crazy Christmas playlist, you know, there's a lot of boobalay. And I just press, you know, mix. And every time it comes on, I'm like, oh, that's right. This is hilarious. I love this one.
Yeah. There's a acapella group called Pentatonix, I think.
Yes, yes, yes.
That Beck always plays at Christmas. She really loves this album. And it's like, I'm like, why are they jazzing up these songs?
Okay.
We know you can sing. You're an acapella group.
I love an over-the-top. Like, Oh, sorry, it's gone out of my head. Well,
you see this a lot at Carols by Candlelight. You see a lot of like, I've got my own rendition of this classic song, and you know, all these people who have gone there because they want to sing along and go, oh, we can't hit these notes. Thanks, opera singer coming out and doing God Rest You Merry Gentlemen 8 octaves higher than it should be.
It's not okay. I have an album of ABBA songs which features a medley of spiritual songs performed by ABBA. So it's like, you know, pick a bale of cotton on top of Old Smokey. By the whitest people who ever lived. That's like when you brought up Creedence before, I'm like, oh, yeah. They're just a little too white for what the way they're trying to sing.
Yeah.
And this is like, this is taken to the nth degree. And that's what I always think of when I think of Barbara singing Jingle Bells, is ABBA trying to sing a spiritual.
All right. So my next one is a real, real favorite in the family for Christmas time. We always have this on around Christmas. It's Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. Oh, and it's her Christmas album. And this song is called Big Bowl. So I'll play it.
Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls.
So, the reason my family love it is because my kids think it says big balls, and so they're flashing, they flash their balls every time. And you know, Oliver's 9, he's getting a bit too old to be flashing his balls, but I played him this just before and the tradition continued. So there you
say
go.
That, but I have seen many a stand-up comedian at 3 o'clock in the morning at the festival club just get dropping trow for all to see.
But this was, so when I first played it, Beck also thought it said big balls. And then
it does sound like big balls.
It does, and I think they are aware of that as well.
Oh, yeah, they're leaning into it.
Yeah. But just before I did this, I played the kids what songs I was going to do, and even the last song I played, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight, Henry thought it said, I Don't Want to Fart Tonight, and so now he's probably in the lounge room singing that. So all these Christmas songs, my kids are like Kevin Bloody Wilson here. They're just changing the lyrics.
Look, deck the halls with boughs of holly. La, 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 la. Christmas is a time for inserting rude words into songs because you hear them too often.
But this Sharon Jones album is very good. If anyone wants a Christmas album that they can put on and it's not too Christmassy, it's upbeat. There's a bunch of covers on there, like Santa Goes Straight to the Ghetto, I think, is on there, the James Brown one, Little Drummer Boy. It's really, really good. This is my favorite one, though, because of the balls. Situation.
The ball situation.
All right, Adam, number 3.
Now, look, this is weird because I am not mad for wintertime business at Christmas because, you know, we've grown up in Australia. It's blisteringly hot. It's a lot of, I'm barely wearing shorts, let alone. But I have a soft spot for Winter Wonderland.
I do too.
I love, you know, Parson Brown in the meadow. Build a snowman, pretend he's Parson Brown. But my favorite rendition of Winter Wonderland is Elvis Presley from the Elvis Presley Christmas album. Walking in a winter wonderland. Walking in a winter wonderland. Walking in a winter wonderland. I said,
what stage of Elvis are we talking here?
We're talking just on the cusp, or I think post Kung Fu.
Yeah.
As we're getting into, you know, the suit not quite fitting anymore.
So this is like he's only making movies at this point.
Yeah.
Cashing in because Colonel Parker couldn't travel overseas. So no travel. Yeah.
Because he had no passport. But also the final, like, it's the thing about it is, like, you just go, oh yeah, Elvis is doing Winter Wonderland, and it's not until you get to the end you're like, oh, Elvis, bring it home. And he gives it a bit of, I'm a walking, in a winner, wanna live. And I'm like, yay, Big E! Every song on the album finishes like that. Like every Christmas carol he sings.
If for listeners who haven't heard, go and listen to the Malcolm Gladwell podcast, Revisionist History, about Elvis Presley trying to sing the song Love Me Tender.
Oh.
Have you heard? There's a bit in this, in that song, which I didn't even realize. There's a breakdown talking bit where he talks about how hard it is. And there's apparently, like, when he recorded it and live, he never played it live properly because he would break down either getting the giggles or just forgetting words. And they go right into it and say, yeah, this is like actually like a psychological thing that's happening to his brain where he's going from, you think, it's almost asking to love him, and then you realize, oh no, she doesn't love him, and he and his brain just can't cope with that. And the whole podcast is fascinating because it's all about how people would go, oh, he's mucked up, and then Malcolm Gladwell's going, no, we're seeing the real artist there. We're actually seeing the person, not the Elvis that we like up in lights and doing the kung fu.
Yeah,
it's fascinating.
Oh, I love Elvis. Like, there's just. He's, you know, it's weird because, like, when I was a kid, he was, you know, he was my dad's favorite artist. So we had a lot of Elvis. And it's not until now that I'm in my, you know, late 20s that I realized how young he was when he died.
How young was he?
Like, it was 40-something, like 44.
Yeah, that's so,
He was a kid. Like, you just go, oh, he seemed like a bloated old mess. Yeah. That you just go, oh, yeah, he'd done everything. He was like, I mean, I do still say to this day, if Madonna had died before her first injection of Botox, she would be a legend.
Yeah.
But now we're just going to remember her weird, fat, bloated head.
No, I'll tell you what's going to happen there. She is going to, in 20 years' time, do some album, strip it all back down, do her old classics and strip it down, and people are going to go, oh, the songs were always there. She is a genius. And
yeah,
it's going
to, but see, that's what Mariah keeps doing, and everyone seems to notice it. But with, I think just Madonna's like, constantly chasing number one hits and chasing the hottest new producer. And I think the problem is that there is no Madonna on the inside. It's always been artifice.
Yeah. Her bath videos during COVID weren't great. Didn't.
No. Also, like, shaming her kids via Instagram is weird.
I haven't seen that bit.
Oh, yeah. She kind of, like, she has fights with, like, what's the one with Guy Ritchie called? Rocco? Like, she has fights with them over Instagram. It's like, mate, can you do some parenting? This is not okay. Like, and you know, all her best albums were written and produced with Patrick Leonard, and you just go, oh, I think maybe this was not Madonna.
I'm telling you, 20 years time, Rick Rubin's going to do a strip back album with her. People go nuts for it.
Oh, all right. I'm waiting. Can she move her face enough?
Yeah. My number three. This is by Mykola Dimitrovic Leontovic from the Home Alone soundtrack, which is my favorite Christmas movie.
It's a good Christmas movie.
It's Carol of the Bells. Now, this is the only, like, carol I've got in the thing. But when I was a kid, this was my favorite movie as a kid.
Yes.
Home Alone. And before I became a parent, I was like, I cannot wait until I can show my kids this movie. I'm going to stop here. And I think this is the year they get to see Home Alone. Because they've always been a little bit scared of movies, like even like Pixar films and stuff like that. And this has some quite scary scenes. And that song always made me feel a bit uneasy because I'm like, oh, this song's a bit spooky, or it's a bit, there's feelings in it. Okay, there's some emotion behind this. It's not all light and fluffy. And maybe, and then there was the woman in the park with all the pigeons. But now, this is the year. This is the year they're going to see Joe Pesci get hit in the face with an iron. It's going to be great. I cannot wait.
You know, all of those things that they do, it, like, apparently 80% of them would be fatal.
Yeah, yeah. I just love that this was a kids' movie where it's like, yeah, we're gonna show you some things that could kill people.
I mean, it's essentially Three Stooges with a little kid.
Yeah. And listeners of this podcast wonder why I like Jackass so much. This is where it all started. This is where it started. But I can't listen to that song without thinking of Home Alone.
No. Like, I see, for me, that brings up, weirdly, Harry Potter.
I haven't seen the Harry Potter films.
Oh, yeah. It's one Christmas. I think they're having dinner at Hogwarts and, yeah, you know, it comes on while they're eating the turkey that restuffs itself or however that works.
Yeah.
I don't know, Harry Potter business.
Yeah, but I think Home Alone is the best Christmas movie.
Yep.
Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. It just happens at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, yeah, it's not a Christmas movie.
Yeah, so does Love Actually, and it's not a Christmas movie.
That's a terrible movie.
It's a terrible film. It's one really good scene.
which scene is the good scene for you?
Emma Thompson getting the CD.
Yeah.
Oh.
I also like Bill Nye's character. I think that's just a funny thing. And you know what? I do like the guy going to the States and have an accent and just picking up those three girls. That's that's funny. That's what you want at Christmas time.
It's a weird threesome.
Yeah. All right, you're number two, Adam.
All right, my number two, just when you think I wasn't gay enough, Judy Garland. In the film Meet Me in St. Louis, singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
I have not heard this until today, this song. I looked up.
Really?
Part of myself, I mean, I've heard the song, but I haven't heard her version. And I looked up.
Well, it's
the
original.
Doing research, and I just typed in saddest Christmas songs, thinking, oh, maybe there's a nice set, and this was voted number one as the saddest Christmas song. Yeah.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight.
Heartbreaking, especially if you get the full original lyrics, which they didn't use in the movie.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it kind of implies, yeah, no, we're not going to be here anymore. Because are they being evicted in the movie? I can't remember. Meet Me in St. Louis just is a bunch of holidays. Like, it's a family's journey through a bunch of holidays and a trip on the trolley. clang, clang, clang. But, yeah, it's her voice is... She always sounds like she's on the verge of tears and that the worst things in the world are about to happen or have happened. And yeah, it's just one of those, it's like heaps of people have had a crack at it, but it's just one of those songs that once you've heard the Judy Garland one, you're like, oh yeah. I get why people cover this. This is really hard work.
Yeah. Because there are two sad Christmas albums of like, so the band She and Him, which is Zooey Deschanel and M. Ward did a Christmas album. And they do a cover of this as well.
Yeah.
And it's fine, but it's a bit like, it's like Christmassy. It's like, oh, there's no substance. Yeah. And then there's a guy called Mark Kozlak, who is from Sun Kil Moon, and he does a Christmas album, and it's very sad. And sometimes it's like, no, this is too sad.
It's too much.
This is just a guy hating everything, singing some sad songs.
Bottom of my second bottle of bourbon on Boxing Day, and I am done. Yeah. Right. I should point out, you know, you were saying, you know, terrible things happen at Christmas. My mother died on Boxing Day. So I have a terrible association with Christmas in that I get very, very excited. And then it's almost like, oh, yeah, don't forget tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. It is funny. Like, even though bad stuff has happened at Christmas, but I still have all those things. Oh, the whole world gets to get, not the whole world, I shouldn't say that. the Christian world, the Western world get together and go, yeah, let's do this. Let's decorate the place and sing some songs. That's fun. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry.
It is fun until it starts triggering your PTSD.
Yeah.
My fiance's birthday is Christmas Eve.
Big 3 days, it.
Yeah, huge 3 days. And when I first met him, I was like, oh, you poor thing. Oh, you're from Beijing. Like, yeah. Do you even have Christmas? He's like, nah, the communist banned it. It's like, no idea. But like, it was just, my birthday was the 24th of December. Who cares?
All right. So this is my number two. My number two is by Julian Casablancas from the band The Strokes. And this started as an SNL skit. Written by Horatio Sanz and Jimmy Fallon. It's I Wish It Was Christmas Today. There's those bells again.
Oh, the bells.
Every Christmas song has those bells.
And the big bells.
Yeah.
The cowbells.
It's a very catchy song.
So cute.
So they've done this on SNL like about 8 times. And so it started apparently like Horatio Sanz was just playing that little keyboard riff in the writer's room. And they were like, him and Jimmy Fallon thought it was very funny. So they wrote this song. And apparently Tracy Morgan walked past and went, what's that? I want to be in the sketch. And so in the original, he's just standing there moving his shoulders. And that's all he does. But it's very, very funny. And then they've done it a lot of times since. And this was Julian Casablancas doing it because they did a Christmas album for charity. And so he put that one out. And it's, I think Cheap Trick have also done a cover of it.
It's really cute.
I love it. It's just fun. It's just a fun little Christmas song.
I love a fun Christmas song.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why my number one is what it is.
Okay, let's talk about your number one then. What is your number one?
Well, I don't even know why you have to ask. It's Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You.
I thought this was going to be on the other Mariah list. I thought,
oh no, that's on there too.
Okay.
I'm double dipping with all of it.
I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come.
It is a good song, yeah. It really is. Because there was a time where people were like going, there are no decent Christmas songs that aren't carols, which I didn't agree with. But then this one, people cannot argue that this is not a good Christmas song.
I mean, it's in Love Actually.
It is.
It's not her, but it's in Love Actually. And it's just, and I think it's even in Mean Girls.
Probably.
But yeah.
When did it come out?
94, yeah, because last year was the 25th anniversary and it hit number one for the first time on its 25th anniversary, even though you're like, how was it not number one before? But
I just love that she's playing along with it now. Like, it's people are like, it's almost time, and they're seeing the sales spikes go up, like all the Spotify streams. It's like, it's almost time for Unleash Mariah. Like, yeah.
Well, she has like a thing now where she goes, no, not until after Halloween. Not until I've taken that costume off can I put the other one on.
It's like Groundhog Day when the groundhog comes out and they're like, all right, 3 more weeks of winter. If we don't see Mariah come out, the little hole. Not yet Christmas, guys. Not yet Christmas.
I've been in my other podcast, Me, I Am a Memoir, The Meaning of Mariah Carey.
Yes.
Where I'm reading her book. We just read her first Christmas chapter. And one of her reasons for writing this song, she's like, I wanted it to be a classic Christmas song, like a song that everyone loved and wanted to enjoy at Christmas, because she had terrible Christmases, as we all have, but she had the most joyous Christmases of all time with what she calls her gunkles, her gay uncles. And I'm like, oh yeah, no one does Christmas like the gays. We are we go way too hard.
What? Tinsel, dressing up, all that kind of stuff, getting festive?
I can make the tree into a drag queen? Of course I'm on board.
Gunkle, though, does sound like you need to see a podiatrist. Your gunkles.
I've got terrible gunkles. But, yeah, I just was like, oh, this explains so much about Mariah now. She had gay Christmas as a child. Oh, easily sorted. Once you find out the reasons behind things, you're like, oh, I see now.
All right. So that is your number one. Comes as no surprise. I think our number ones sum us up very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is Mariah. Mine is Paul Kelly.
Oh.
And it's the classic Christmas. It's Had About Gravy.
Hello, Dan. It's Joe here. I hope you're keeping well. It's the 21st of December. Now they're ringing the last bell. If I get good behavior, I'll be out of here by July. Won't you kiss my kids on Christmas Day? Please don't let them cry.
Probably one of the saddest songs.
Yes.
But apparently, he thought it was a comedy when he first wrote it and played it to the person. He thought it'd be like a funny Christmas song that, oh, you know, I'm in jail and... Yeah, I'm kind of all that thing. Like, I'm missing. Who's going to make the gravy? These are the silly things I'm missing.
It's oh, like, man. Paul Kelly. His idea of what's hilarious has always been troublesome. Yeah.
But this song is all set on December 21. My very good friend Dion McCall and his brother have a thing, have a tradition in their house that were like in their family. Wherever they are in the world, they'll make a phone call to each other and play this song. And have a chat. And like, so his brother Aaron moved overseas, but they still, December 21, will play this song. And I think that's a very nice thing to do.
That's great. And I mean, that is the good thing about Christmas. It's like a benchmark for things you really should have done all year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should have called that person. I should have sent them a card. I should have, all right, I'll get on to it.
Well, I remember seeing Paul Kelly at Falls Festival one year sing this song, and my little brother was there with me.
Mm.
And my friend Lisa started crying, and I'm like, yeah, it's a sad song. She goes, no, I'm just watching you and your brother, like, listen to this. And it was like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. We're not going to cry because we're, you know, like, ridiculous, emotionless men. But, like, I'm glad that someone else can get some joy out of our non-feelings.
Out of our brotherly disdain.
But it's like, both these songs, like, both our number ones are just classic, and you know, I can't imagine Christmas without listening to these songs at least once.
At least once. I mean, if you go to the shops, you're forced. You have Mariah forced on you. So
yeah. Yeah. Not so much Paul Kelly. I think
not so much Paul Kelly.
If you listen to Paul Kelly, you listen to Triple R, you'll hear it.
Although Paul Kelly is forced on you at various barbecues. Like, yes, you end up at a bunch of Christmas barbies with bunch of, you know, of people that you've known for a very long time. It's like, oh no, I've got to buy that. All right. Pop it on.
This is my thing with Paul Kelly. He's Basil, okay? No one hates it. It's fine. Like, you put it on, it can, yeah, it's fine. No one's going to complain, oh, can we get rid of Paul Kelly? It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. Some people, it's their favorite. So other people will tolerate it. No one's going, nah, I can't stand it.
I can't listen to Paul Kelly. Turn him off.
It is funny. I was talking, like, every country's got their Paul Kelly. So, like, America has, like, you know, a lot. They've got Bob Dylan, Springsteen, those kind of people. UK has Billy Bragg. He's like their Bob Dylan. I'm sure there's a German and an Irish Bob Dylan, but
there,
like,
there would be one for everyone. Well, there's like about 30 of them in Ireland.
Yeah. Foster and Allen.
Singing about the troubles.
All right. Now, my honourable mentions. I'll go through my honourable mentions. So I had Winter Wonderland by Darlene Love. What Christmas Means to Me by Stevie Wonder.
Oh,
his Christmas album. So great. That's so another great one. And the other one, which was a very, very sad one, which is from Love Actually as well, River by Joni Mitchell.
Oh.
one of the saddest songs ever.
Is that the CD that she gets?
Yeah, she gets Blue. This is the last track on it. Yeah. And it's all about Christmas and, yeah.
Oh, Emma Thompson getting that CD. Woo!
All right, so for the Mariah fans, what can we listen to on Christmas Day with Mariah Carey?
Okay, number five, Oh Come All Ye Faithful.
Okay.
With the Hallelujah Chorus performed by her opera singing mother, Patricia.
Now, do the Gunkles get a look in Oh Come All Ye Faithful? Is that a, is there a sly nod? Okay.
Only in my mind. Then there's Oh Santa, which was her attempt to do another All I Want for Christmas Is You. It's not quite as good, but it's still so jaunty.
Yep.
And has chanting in it.
I love a chant. I love a choir. I reckon I'm going to do another one of top fives with choirs.
Oh, choirs are so good. I was in a Christmas choir when I was a kid, and I was going to mention the song that we used to sing in the choir, which is a very Aussie Christmas song. But it has a problematic origin, being that it's Six White Boomers by Rolf Harris. Oh.
They played that. So there's this radio station called Kindling. It's a kids' radio station.
Yeah.
And last year they played Six White Boomers by Rolf Harris.
It's a great song.
It is a really catchy song. And I was like, oh, because they follow me on Twitter. So I just sent them a DM saying, hey, just so you know, you just played Rolf Harris. Maybe, I don't know, maybe look into it. I'm not like, and they sent a very nice one back going, yeah, we absolutely will take that off the rotation and try and find a replacement, like a cover of it.
But it's such a great song. Like, yeah, I remember singing that at Northcote Plaza when I was a little kid with my little Christmas choir.
I think we had the 7-inch of it at home in Burnie.
Oh, I mean, it's a good song. Anyway, Jesus Born on This Day, which is another Mariah Carey penned song, which I was like, is this going to take off as much? Because it's very kind of, it's very Christmas carol-y. It's very orchestral. It's got a choir, the whole thing. And then I've seen people do it at carols, and I'm like, oh, she's making money hand over fist this time of year.
she should release it with, like, All I Want for Christmas, and that is the B-side, maybe. Oh. Maybe it'll get some traction.
People sing it. I don't think people know that it's her because it's like, it's very gaudy. It's, you know, Jesus Born on This Day. Oh Holy Night. She does a great rendition of Oh Holy Night, which is one of my favourites because it's got some, you know, you need some specky chops to be able to belt out.
Oh, holy night. Yeah, this is going through. Which is the one that goes, ooh. Do, 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 do. Is that Good King Wenceslas? God rest ye merry gentlemen? I don't know.
I'll do another
one.
Oh Holy Night is the one, you know, you get to the end. Oh night divine.
Oh,
it goes, you know.
Yeah. It's a Marina Pryor special.
Oh, it is a Marina Pryor special. And number one, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Yeah. it had to be number one twice.
Now, what I'm going to do, listeners, I'm going to share this in the comments. I'm going to share the Spotify playlist. You can have this on Christmas Day. You can play it. If you're doing Whamageddon, you've passed. We didn't play it. It's not in our list.
It's too sad and it's annoying.
Yeah.
You know what? If you want to talk albums, Bublé, any Bublé Christmas album is good value. Like, they're just, he sings all the good ones.
Yep.
In an inoffensive way. and I'm also quite mad for Christina Aguilera. If you ever want to see why Mariah is so good at Christmas, is get Christina Aguilera's album and go, oh, okay, you can oversing these songs. Yeah.
I love singers who treat it like it's maths. So I've just got to hit all the notes.
I'm going to hit all the notes and I'm not going to leave any of them unscathed.
Now, you've got some Christmas gifts as well. You've got a book out.
I've got a book. Do you want to see my book?
Yeah.
It's called, it's got Tom Gleason on the cover. It's the Hard Quiz Book of the World's Hardest Asses. Which I've written with Jared McCulloch, who's our question producer, and Chris Walker, who's the executive producer.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just a top 20 list of the world's hardest asses, including someone who made the list was Dolly Parton, who has a Christmas album out this year.
Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers have a good Christmas album as well.
They do have a very good Christmas album. It's I do have that one, and that's on my rotation. That's usually I go Elvis, then Kenny, Dolly.
Dolly's had a big renaissance this year. Like the podcast on her, and then the fact that she was, like, people discovered that she was actually funding COVID vaccines.
Mm-hmm. She's been pretty amazing. Like, you know what I discovered in writing this chapter for the book is how often she turns jokes about her around.
Yeah.
And in, like, A, she'll do them first, or B, there's a, I don't know if you know this, but Dolly the Sheep.
Yes.
Was named after Dolly Parton. Dolly, the first cloned sheep.
Yeah.
And was named after Dolly Parton because it was cloned from mammary gland cells.
Oh.
Hilarious scientists thinking, we are funny. Let's make, who's got the biggest boobs? Dolly Parton. So when she heard this, she's like, yes, well, I think that's amazing. I'm really flattered. And I would like to offer Dolly the sheep when she's retired. She can come and stay at my Dollywood theme park. I'm like, yeah, just name drop the theme park that you own.
All right, this is my prediction for 2022. Mm. There'll be a Dolly movie.
Oh, don't.
Emma Stone will be playing Dolly.
Emma Stone as Dolly. That's controversial.
I think that would work.
But I don't know. Her voice is very deep and raspy. Dolly's got a very high, light voice.
She's an actor. She can change it. She's got two years to hire a voice coach. Get on it.
I do. That would be amazing. I mean, have you watched Dolly's show on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
It is wonderfully cheesy and schmaltzy. It's like 1 hour long made for TV movies about her songs. Like,
all right.
I'm watching a lot of Dolly clips for like research. Country singers, why do they introduce their songs? Like, they go, this is a song about this. It's like, yeah, we know, because there's no subtext in your song. It's just the story. You don't need to explain it. Now you're going to sing it again.
And so you've got the book. You've also got a podcast.
I got Me, I Am Memoir, The Meaning of Mariah Carey.
Yes.
And Adam Richard Has a Theory, which I do daily, talking about Doctor Who.
Excellent.
Just for 10 minutes every day. Like, it's not long.
This has been so much fun. Listeners, as always, put your top five in the comments, and I will see you next week with a brand new episode. Huzzah! Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Josh. Big air kisses.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.